name is Mo Reese. Morrith Mo is brought to you by the fine people over at JulieLand.com. As always, today I am joined by my partner in crime, blah, Mr. Richard
blah,
Avery.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Hello.
Why have you been fucking up my intros lately?
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling it.
You're in a mood today, aren't you?
Yes, very much so.
We should have fun. Well, I have somebody in studio today that is going to tell you to shh. Did you like how I did that? I pulled that up. Today in studio, we have Miss Ella Darling. Hello, Ella.
Well, hello there.
Well, Ella, we brought you in because you are, and I would assume still, a librarian.
I was a librarian. I don't do much librarying these days. But once upon a time, yes.
I was.
Now, so you, obviously, you work in the adult industry now.
Correct.
So, but you have a degree,
yes,
correct?
I have a master's degree in library and information science.
Okay.
Which I got when I was 21, mm-hmm, in order to be a librarian. Because to be a librarian, you have to have a master's degree from an accredited university by the American Library Association.
Wow. So it's pretty. Is it pretty intense?
It's pretty intense. And I went to the number one library school in the country. It was actually founded by Melville Dewey himself, which is why I have the Dewey decimal number for Harry Potter on my back.
Wow.
I got it when I finished in a year.
Wow. No, you showed us earlier. Now, and actually I was going to ask, is the Dewey decimal system even used anymore?
Yes, of course, of course.
Because every book gets a number.
Yeah, every book. So when Melville Dewey created the system, he actually intended every book to have multiple numbers. But the way it was used in application,
right,
was they actually combined Dewey and Cutter, which used a system using like the author's last name. And so that's what they use to organize nonfiction books. And fiction books also have a place in the Dewey system. And anyway, so every library has books cataloged based on how the cataloger would, just based on their discretion. So
sure,
if you're a law library, then you're going to have a very, like, all of your books are going to be probably about law, but you'll, mm-hmm, have them arranged based on subject within law. So that's why there's the Dewey Decimal System.
Sure.
So it's like every decimal point is
it is still used today, because the last time I was actually, no, I've been to my local library. I go to the Studio City Library from time to time. I haven't been in quite some time, but I used to actually go down when I was having internet issues. I'd go down and use the computer down there.
Yes.
So, and that was a major usage. And I haven't checked out a book since high school.
So you're telling me you jerked off at the library?
I have not jerked off at the library. There's plenty of people there. But I was going to say, the last time I was in a library where I actually used it as the proper function of checking out a book was probably high school. And I graduated a number of years ago. And so it was before we had a computer filing system.
Okay.
So we were still using the card catalog, where it was I'm looking, if I remember correctly, even pull out, I'm looking for a topic, and I'd go through and pull out and there's the card, and then go find that book. Is that absolutely obsolete now?
No, but now instead of going to a card catalog, you go to a computer,
mm-hmm,
and it's a computer card catalog, basically. So you look it up and it tells you the Dewey Decimal number, and then you go find it on the shelf.
So this is going to be an obscure reference. Watch where I go with this. So basically, in the next Ghostbusters movie, because I still hope and pray there will be one, in the first Ghostbusters movie, there was the ghost librarian. And when they walk through the thing, cards are flying out of the card catalog. That scene is now impossible for the newest movie.
Now the computer will tip over.
Exactly. It'll just tip over.
Yeah.
It'll be over. Did you like that reference?
No.
I pulled that one right out of my ass. So, now, a doctor, you go to medical school.
Well, I got to ask a question before we go there. Back up a little bit. At what point in your life did you say, I want to go to be a librarian?
I was in my undergraduate university. I was majoring in forensic psychology, and I was a TA for a very prominent forensic psychologist, like one of the biggest in Texas. And I had her name listed as one of my, like, mentors or heroes or something on my MySpace page.
Yeah.
And so she pulled me aside after class one day and was like, hey, so I was at a pretrial hearing, and crazy, they found your MySpace and they had some pictures in this pretrial hearing to, like, when they were validating her credentials.
Right.
And I did this, like, kind of fucked up, really sacrilegious, zombie-ish dead girl modeling stuff. It was totally clothed. I never did anything risque at that point. And she was like, yeah, so I'm concerned, because it really freaked me out, because it was Texas. And it was so humiliating, so mortifying. And I went home and I deleted my MySpace, and I used to be in a circus sideshow, so I called and I quit the sideshow, and I was like, I can't be in the sideshow anymore. And my partner was like, okay, that sucks. Are you okay? And yeah. I was like really traumatized and really dramatic. And then I realized that like I don't need to change all of these things about my life for a job that I don't even have yet.
Right.
Because I'm like 20 years old and I can change the course of my future. So someone mentioned something about how librarians are like these kind of freedom fighters, and they go to jail for privacy rights and your right to access information. And I was like, holy shit, that's pretty hardcore. So yeah. I looked into it and I was like, okay, librarians are pretty badass. I will apply to the best library school, because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the best way. And I got in, so I did.
Wow, that's intense.
That's an intense thing.
It sounds like a very eclectic life in Texas.
Yeah, it's been an eclectic life.
I mean, just like compared to what the rest of Texas is like, it's like you definitely were on the left of it.
Yeah.
Because you didn't play football.
No, I didn't. In high school, I was in medieval club, sci-fi club, chess club, spelling team, German National Honor Society, National Honor Society, like Lit Mag, all of these. Yeah.
Is there any question when she says she went to be a librarian? I mean, do you doubt that at all based off that list
no,
of things?
Not at all. After that.
Wait, did I hear chess club in there?
Yeah. Well, so the chess club, medieval club, sci-fi club, and spelling team that was just like a different iteration of the same group. Of students and the same teacher
it was the
each
same
year.
Group and go, well, today here we are.
It's like this year we're going to be medieval club.
I was just going to say, like, it's the same 10 people going, like, we're the same people. We're going to have 20 different club names, so we have 20 different clubs.
Sure.
It looks good on our yearbook page.
Well, and then the next year it was like, well, they wouldn't let us play D&D when we called ourselves medieval club, so maybe if we call ourselves sci-fi club, we can play Shadowrun instead.
And I could see how you could get along real well with Bobby, because she plays D&D, mm-hmm. which scares the hell out of me.
Why does it scare you?
I don't know.
Are you
just
afraid the dice are gonna like?
No, I just grew up on like games like, you know, Monopoly, Parcheesi, Chinese checkers,
kick the can,
backgammon, aww. Whatever. But all those weird things like that, I just.
What was it like before TV?
I grew up on black and white TV. We didn't have color until I think I was like. Freaking in high school.
I didn't have we had black and white TV when I was a kid. That we had a color in the living room, but it was black and white like any of the other anywhere else in the trailer.
I just remember
that
I remember the invention of the VCR. Like that was the greatest thing ever when we were in, I think it was by the time I was a senior in high school. And I remember the digital watch when that got invented too. That was like the most amazing thing.
Wow.
And a calculator. That was a great invention too.
Back to library. And you brought up about, and I'm going to, I believe you said freedom fighters, but librarians as being putting themselves out there and pushing for it.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on banned books? Because I keep hearing this is still honestly a thing, and I heard about it in NPR. I didn't realize this was actually still a thing in public libraries where people are forced to take out well-known books or even, you know, 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, so first of all, a banned book is actually pretty rare these days, but there are still, in every library, a patron can go in, and many do, and they'll challenge a book that's on the shelf based on whatever reason they've decided. Much of the time, they haven't read the book. They have no idea what it's about. It's just somebody told them it's offensive, and so they decided that it is, and they don't
want
it.
They see Moby Dick, and they go, oh, it's about a dick!
Yeah, or they flip the book open, and they see a curse word, and they assume that they call it pornography.
Right. Well, the Bible's pornography.
I mean, we know what pornography is in young adults.
I've seen it a couple times. I don't have no idea.
But so I think that people should have the right to access unlimited information. I think that it's up to the patrons and citizens to decide how to moderate the information that they consume. And yeah, I don't think it's up to any one citizen to moderate the information that other citizens
no of course not
acquire.
Now would you put that so far as to obviously each community standards are going to be different, mm-hmm. You know, and thoughts on would you go so far as to have more adult related content, not necessarily hardcore pornography, not having Hustler magazine, but does Playboy magazine have a place in a library?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are Playboy magazines at my grad school library, for example. There's a place for everything, mm-hmm. and we can put everything in its place. It's just trying to ban something isn't helpful. It's find the right crowd for it, find who's going to access that information or who is most likely to, and make it more accessible to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should do. And if you don't want your kids to access that material, then talk to your kids about the material and why you don't want them to access it.
I think in this day and age, it's like the cat's out of the bag at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like everything, you can get anything anywhere at any time, any information you possibly could want. It's really, really hard to censor anything in this. Like if some library said, let's not have this book in there. Because of the kids are going to be like, well, now we want to go find out why, and then they can go find the book anywhere else.
And who is the librarian to decide what those kids should be consuming?
Exactly.
I mean, who is anybody to decide what somebody else should read?
It's true. I mean, obviously, I would say Playboy. I don't want to have the third grader coming up and going, you know, I want to read Hef's magazine. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, no, keep I things mean, as legal. Age appropriate,
well, of course, yeah.
But I mean, and not
common
to
sense.
There is common sense, and so should there be an area that would be specifically more adult related? Sure. I mean, that's you know, I think it's.
But I think that goes for even certain books. I think wouldn't if some little kid, say a 10-year-old, came in with some seriously, I don't know, 50 Shades of Grey, and then said to you, "I'm going to check this out." Would you say something, or would you let the kid check?
No,
that
I
out?
Would let them check it out because here's the thing. What am I judging that on? Because I don't want them to read sex? Well, if the 10-year-old wants to learn about sex and they want to explore some aspect of it, keeping them from information isn't going to help them. Right. Letting them access information and letting them make their own decision and letting them explore on their own, that's what's
going
to
be. Wouldn't you recommend, hey, this book sucks, there's better books you should read?
Well, I might engage them in a dialogue about it. I might ask them what drew them to the book.
Wait for the movie.
So if it's not already,
I would never say that.
So if it's already not an age restricted item, then just go for it. And would you put it back to then the parents should be the ones to go, oh, I see you have this book, and nicely return it if they felt it was necessary.
Absolutely.
Okay. I have a question.
I think it's up to
pick me. Pick me. I'm assuming you've read a lot of books.
Yes.
Give me a couple of your favorites.
Couple of my favorites. Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett is one of my very favorites.
Okay.
Geek Love by Katherine Dunn. That actually inspired me to join the Circus Sideshow.
Okay.
Harry Potter is obviously a big one for me.
Did you read Game of Thrones, all those?
I did. I love Game of Thrones.
Thick.
Yeah, yeah. You can make the L with your fingers. It's okay. I know I'm a loser.
No. I think I read like two books in my entire life.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat.
I always tell people like I never, my rule since I started taking pictures when I was 10. So I always tell people, you know, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, then I've read millions and I've written millions. So that's how my excuse for not reading books.
There's many different kinds of literacy.
I read very well on Twitter. I do very well at 140 characters. Here's the question then that I have for you of, you know, you work in the adult industry. You have a little bit freer schedule than the person who works a typical 9-to-5 job.
Right.
Where do you find the time in your schedule, or where do you put the time? Do you build in time to read books, or do you just kind of, it's just whenever you have time?
I read so much less now than I did when I was working 3 jobs and going to school super crazy full-time.
Really?
Because when that was happening, I had structured time that was dedicated. Like, I had to be in class or I had to be at work. When I was a librarian, I had so much fucking free time. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had just finished getting a master's degree and a bachelor's degree in 4 years. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, 35 hours, because that's full-time at my library, 35 hours of the week, I'm at the library. And the rest of the time, the union doesn't even allow me to work or focus on work. So, like, there's no studying, right. There's no homework. And so I read like crazy, but now every free moment I have is a moment that I could be spending on work or promoting myself or reaching out. Like it's really hard to dedicate time to reading because reading is my leisure activity and it's hard to give yourself leisure time.
And I agree. I've been trying to do that as well. I bought and it's funny as it leads back to everything. I have Liz Taylor gave me a Kindle. Amazon gift lists are amazing. She received a few of them, and I received one as a gift. And so I downloaded a couple books, and going back to promotion and things that we think about all the time, our worlds tend to, even me, I mean, I have a blog, I have different things, so I'm constantly promoting the ideas, but I downloaded a book called Showtime that is written by Phil Harvey, who is the creator of Adam and Eve. Now, so it all links back to it's a fiction book. It has nothing to do with it. But the reason why I read that is because the owner of Adam and Eve wrote the book, and I wanted to see what he had to say. So it all connects back to that was my book of the year. I downloaded Lincoln because I saw the movie Lincoln now a year and a half ago, and I downloaded the book, And I believe it's like 100 billion pages long, but still in the form of an ebook. And I don't know when I'm going to crack that. I was going to ask you, do you read off of a normal book still, or do you go to the ebook?
I usually read from the Kindle app on my phone because it's always with me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to carry a big purse and I would have like at least one book with me, sometimes two, because it would depend on my mood. Like, do I want to read the nonfiction book that I'm reading, or the fiction book, or the young adult, like bubblegum lit, or... You know,
mm-hmm.
but it, my back doesn't allow for that anymore. So just keeping books in my Kindle.
Just keeping books. It all. Yeah. And so
I think books are overrated.
So do you think there's going to be a point where the library as a function of, much like we'll say Blockbuster, do you think the idea of having, 100 copies of a videotape on a shelf, much like at a library where you have so many books, is that going to become more obsolete where it's more of just a community gathering area, less about housing books?
I think it'll always be about accessing information, and I think books are gonna, like, we can talk about how books are out of vogue all we want, but that's a very elitist point of view to take, mm-hmm. because I know 4.5 years ago when I was at my library, I taught people, I would dedicate a week to, like, job seeking and helping people with their resumes and helping people with interviews and helping people, like, teaching people how to apply for jobs. And to teach someone how to apply for a job on Monster.com, I first had to teach them which mouse button to click.
Yeah.
And how to use a computer.
I totally knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
It's like how to use a computer is the first thing.
So it's a spread of education then.
Yeah. So I have an iPhone in my lap right now. So it's easy for me to say that, books are, yesterday. But there are plenty of communities that... just don't have that access.
Right. I think it's all. People always ask things like that about: is it going to be A? Is it going to be B? I think it's E. Always E. It's all above. There's a place for books. There's a place for an iPad. There's a place for a Kindle. There's a place for it all. And there are people who want. It might not be, I would say, the biggest slice of the pie anymore for hardcore, like actual books, mm-hmm. and it might shrink a little bit. But there's still people that want that, and I think it's good, especially because I'm trying to get a book published. That I hope that they want a book. I want a book.
And also, it's really important, I think, to our society to have this community aggregate of information and access to information that isn't a business, that doesn't profit. I mean, they don't profit from the kind of information we read, mm-hmm. Because everything is so skewed. Everything is so ad-based. Everything is... I mean, when you do a Google search, there's so much money involved in what you're getting, the first results you get. And at the library, it's not... like that.
Yeah.
And it's important to have this one last bastion of
non-business.
Exactly. I did want to ask one last question before. Is when I first introduced you, I said a librarian, and you said not any longer. A doctor goes off to school, and doesn't matter if they're practicing or not, they're mm-hmm. still considered a doctor. Are you technically still a librarian, just an unemployed or non-working librarian? I mean, could you go back to a library and go, I'm a librarian, hire me?
I don't know. I mean, really? I think I know that
once
you cannot...
It's like being an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic.
I know that, like, almost across the board, you don't have the title of librarian unless you have a library degree. But I don't know if it's the same situation.
It sounds like it would be, though.
I think you should.
You've earned the degree.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm still kind of...
You're a librarian.
You're a librarian.
Be proud.
Wow.
So now you can... I'm
tapping into this potential that I didn't realize. Exactly.
Sexy librarian.
And of course, because I do have to bring in something, have you ever played a naughty librarian?
I think I probably have at this point, but nothing that really captured the scenario to... my satisfaction.
Yeah. Not the dominatrix librarian.
Nothing in like a real library with like shelves around me. It was always like, oh, I'm a sexy librarian. I just got home from work. Like, that's not
my apartment that yesterday I was a school
and
teacher.
And the pizza delivery guy just showed up.
Yeah. Well, perfect. I want musty books. I'm going to smell the books while I get fucked.
Oh.
Whoa. I like that. Well, on that note, Miss Darling, where can we find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, I am darlingella.com, but you should probably just follow me on Twitter. I'm ELA Darling, Ella Darling, and just Google me. I'm everywhere.
No, you're everywhere.
Everywhere, baby.
Well, Ella, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
This has been a fun topic. This has been More with Mo. Again, I'm Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by JulieLand.com. You can check me out on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me, or you can check out my blog, theaveragemo.com. Have a great day.